to teach a new way. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You had better. Wake them up. Get them up. Get them going on a Wednesday as we will drag you up over the hump. This indeed is where the Longhorns play, and Longhorns will play this afternoon. Tell you who they'll face this afternoon at 4 o'clock is where you talk sports. And boy, we have a lot to talk about. NBA triple header last night. We've got Major League Baseball, big game down in Houston. Plenty to do. Longhorn football, the Big 12, the NFL, as we get you going on this Wednesday. Still a sprinkle or two out there, some early showers this morning, but mostly just a hot, humid day today in Austin, Texas. The steamy afternoons will continue on this Wednesday as we count down the days to the Memorial Day weekend. Summer is right around the corner here in the ATX and throughout the great state, and we are appreciative of you being there, live, local, and digital, however you find us, on 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260. We're always streaming, making it easy for you, live on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com. Mr. Godbolt.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for the great job that you do. It is appreciated. Thank you very, very much. Continue to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. And kind of heavy-hearted here over the last week or so. You know that Sunday morning show that we got after a little bit last week where the dog pooped in the corner. Just a special, you know, prayers to T.J. Greeny and his wife. His wife lost her mother last week.
Oh, man.
To our guy, BK. BK lost his grandfather last night, yesterday afternoon. He's not going to be with us for a couple days. And also a guy who makes me smile. Anytime I see him, he just makes me laugh. Steve Foster. You know, Foss lost his mother yesterday. So this is we're going into a weekend of some heavy-heartedness for some people that we know. So just remember them as you tip one back for them, whether it's your Bud Light, your brewskis, or your lemonade, or whatever. Tip one back to those folks who are going to go into this weekend kind of heavy-hearted as things go on. Funerals, you know, they've got to do all kinds of things. So those three, TJ, BK, and Foss. And Foss was trying to be extra strong as I talked to him yesterday, but that's his mama. So
yeah,
that's... he's the oldest. I guess he's the only boy in the families. All the rest of them are girls. So he was talking about how he's got to do this for his sisters. And I said, man, just let that sorrow come out. That's your mom. And for BK, his grandfather, that was special to him. And his father, his grandfather was very religious in the Jewish faith. So there'll be some. I asked him yesterday, I said, do my prayers count? He said, they all count. So
no question. And well said. And obviously, as we say, count down the days to Memorial Day weekend. That's the weekend, obviously, we honor those who paid made the ultimate sacrifice in defense of our country. And so heavy hearts there as well for folks who have lost loved ones in defense of the United States of America. But it will be an interesting weekend. Summer, really. You know, Memorial Day, typically the official start of summer.
Oh, it'll be packed this one. Everybody's out now.
Everybody's out. And it's going to
be out.
Kind of a Memorial Day unlike any other, with things opening up and everyone's going to want to get this. It looks like it's going to be pretty nice weather. Could be a chance for rain on Saturday. But
just kind of here and there.
Yeah, no kind of washout situation. It's just, number one thing is this humidity. Golly, is it steamy in the afternoons right now with the Gulf moisture. And make sure you're hydrating, getting ahead of that, because you can sweat it out pretty quick here. But as you said, with COVID coming, we're coming through it and getting through it. And it's going to be packed out and about. So make sure you're being safe and being smart and making a plan for this weekend. And well said on
this would be a wrong time to get in beef that of people that still want you to wear your mask in their facility. Just have it in your back pocket.
Well, remember,
that's all I can say.
Still got to wear them on airplanes and in airports. That's a federal law.
That's forever.
I know you're kind of getting used to not having the mask, but if you are traveling this weekend and you're going different places, you may
want to stick it in your pocket.
Make sure you have it, just because some are going to still require that as we get here into the summertime. But a lot to do. This is the Wednesday edition. We will drag you up over the hump and get you a couple days closer to that holiday weekend, the 3-day weekend coming up starting on Friday. And you know, it actually starts on Friday morning here.
Kidding me?
With a lot
Thursday night is it
Thursday night. But let's start with your headlines, trending topics. Make sure as you get up and out on this Wednesday, you know what's happening in your sports landscape. Make sure you're in the know. Sinus and snoring specialists bring you the news. And yeah, the Big 12 baseball tournament began last night. It was the first ever 9-8 play-in game ahead of the double elimination tournament at Bricktown Ballpark in Oklahoma City. And it was West Virginia rallying past Kansas 9-8 last night to claim the eighth spot. Mountaineers scored a run in the eighth to tie it and then ended it in the ninth with the always exciting walk-off walk to get the victory. It's the first time in 26 games Kansas's bullpen couldn't close down a seventh-inning lead. And the Mountaineers, after they dropped 2 of 3 to Texas this past weekend, will now face the top-seeded Longhorns this afternoon at 4 o'clock as part of a quadruple header on day one. Texas head coach David Pierce was with us yesterday here on the Horn, announced that his ace Ty Madden will get the start this afternoon. Tristan Stevens set to go in game two. Here's more from Coach Pierce.
We will go at it to win the tournament for sure, but we can be a little more cautious when it comes to stretching an arm or when it comes to maybe going back-to-back days with an arm where some teams may end their year. So the thing that you have to always balance. But the way I look at it, they label us opportunity to play for something, and the something is a championship, so that's how we'll approach it and then move on to the regional.
You'll hear the game live here on the Horn this afternoon, 3:45 pregame, also on the Horn app, 4 o'clock first pitch, scheduled first pitch. There are games all day. Action leads off with Baylor and Texas Tech this morning, 9 o'clock in the 3-6 matchup. That's followed by TCU Kansas State at 12:30. The day wraps up tonight, Oklahoma facing Oklahoma State in Bedlam. That's the 4-5 matchup, four games today in OKC. NBA last night, break up the Dallas Mavericks, another monster night for Luka Doncic. The Mavericks have taken both games in L.A. in that first round series, beat the Clippers 127-121. Mavericks trailed by 2 at the half after allowing 73 first-half points, 30 of those by Kawhi Leonard. But Dallas held L.A. to 19 in the third quarter, built a 14-point second-half lead. They continue to shoot the lights out. Mavs have hit 50% of their three-point shots so far in the series. Doncic finished the night with 39 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, as they head back to Dallas with a 2-0 lead. L.A. Lakers, even their first-round series with Phoenix at a game each, they topped the Suns 109-102. Big man Anthony Davis rebounded from his poor Game 1 performance. He's dominant last night, 34 points, 10 boards, 7 assists, 3 blocked shots. In the early game last night, Brooklyn just overwhelmed Boston 130-108. The Big 3 combined for 61, led by Kevin Durant's 26. Joe Harris threw in another 25. Nets blew that one open early, never trailed. They're up 2 games to none. Another triple header on tap tonight in the NBA. Washington and Philly, Hawks and Knicks, Utah and Memphis all playing game twos. Major League Baseball last night, marquee matchup down in Houston. Dodgers down the Astros 9-2 in game one of that 3-game series. Justin Turner went deep. Clayton Kershaw handcuffed the Astros into the eighth inning. Also last night, the LA Angels beat the Rangers 11-5 to open that series. Round Rock, a 4-2 loser in Tacoma.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
So there you go, Luka Doncic. It was Isaiah Collier yesterday predicting, or at least anticipating, that the Mavericks could win that game because Rick Carlisle is out coaching Ty Lue in that matchup, and more of the same last night. They have no answer off on defense. You know, you went into the series, Buck, thinking the Clippers had the better defensive side. And you've got guys like Pat Beverly and Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. These are all, you know, top-end defensive players in the NBA. So far, they're leaving way too many open jump shots, and Luka Doncic is getting what he wants whenever he wants through the first two games of that series.
No, even when he's covered, they don't really defend him. They just stick a hand up in the air. They're really not in his jock. What they are is a bunch of guys that get close to him and pray that Luka misses. Well, they're going to be surprised because he's not going to miss very many. He has a fall away, a one-foot Larry Bird-type jumper when he falls away. And it looks like the Clippers, Zay, are playing defense like it's just not good defense. They may call it defense and say we're there, but they're not that close to a shot. They really aren't. They're not D'ing that dude up.
Yeah, and I want to give a lot of love to Dallas Mavericks because they're hooping, man. Like, Luka's obviously killing. Tim Hardaway Jr.'s getting buckets. You know, all those guys are really playing. But at the end of the day, Tyronn Lue is getting absolutely abused by Rick Carlisle. And it's easy. Like, I'm out there, I'm watching the game. You know, when you have a big man like Zubac, who's basically like offensive center out there on defense, basically moving his feet. You know, he's just real slow-footed, and they're going at him on every single pick and roll. And we talk about Jericho Sims a lot and why he might have a shot of going to the NBA is for reasons like that.
Yeah.
For him being able to move laterally and keep up with guys like Luka. He might not be able to stop him, but at least make life difficult for him. And, you know, Zubac, the big for the Clippers, he is getting absolutely abused. And Ty Lue, you can't play him. That's just, you can't play him.
Well, yeah, I mean, that hand in the face thing, I'm like, dude, that guy's not, if you're not going to really get physical with Luka, who's a big guy anyway, you can just throw a hand up and say, well, I hope he misses this one because he's not missing from anywhere.
Well, it's not a good look for the Clippers because, again, they tanked their season at the end. They you know, sat everybody the final two games. They lost to Houston and Oklahoma City, two
on
lottery
purpose.
Teams.
Yes.
Two lottery teams. Houston's the worst team in the league, and they lost two games on purpose, A, to, you know, some will say to get the Mavericks, but really it was to stay out of the Lakers' side of the bracket in the Western Conference until the Western Finals to avoid that matchup for as long as they could strategically, and it may blow up in their face because they're now – you know, going back to Dallas down 2-0 with no answer. I think you're right about Zubac. He's got to come out of the game, or this is going to be a short series. And look, I mean, the you know, we saw the Mavericks kind of up and down during the regular season. It seemed to me watching the Mavs this year kind of tacitly is they would win big games, they'd beat good teams, and then they'd match up with a bad team and end up losing. It was about focus for them. But boy, Rick Carlisle is a top-end coach. You know, this is the first time the Mavericks have had a 2-0 lead in a series. You know, going back to, you know, that they stole on the road back to 2011. We know what happened in 2011. You know, this is a great opportunity for Dallas to.
But yeah, but I won't be satisfied till they're up 3-0.
No, I agree.
This group.
I agree. I mean, the Clippers still have good players, and Tyronn Lue's going to have an adjustment here to what's happening because they have. I mean, 100 and they're getting shooting the lights out, 50% from the floor from the 3-point land for the Mavs.
Hand in the face won't do that.
Yeah, I mean, this game was 73-71 at the half. It was a total offensive game, but then the Mavs turned on some defense in the third quarter, and that's where they created the separation that the Clippers could never overcome.
Luka is like Larry Bird mixed with Allen Iverson.
Whoa!
It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. I'm out here watching them, and I'm like, yo, he's way quicker than everybody expects because he'll hit you with a little hezzy, and then he'll get you in the post. He had Kawhi in the post, and Kawhi's a really good defender. We all know that. But when it comes to Luka, he's just as big. He's way more skilled than a lot of the players in the league, clearly, and they just have no answer for him. Like, when you have Patrick Mahomes going crazy on the sideline, like, this is Patrick Mahomes, man. Like, he's impressive himself. When he's impressed by Luka's 1-foot runner from three, like, you got something serious there, Mavericks.
Well, I mean, it's we talked about it last year that there are those in and around the league that believe when LeBron James, it's been LeBron's league for the last two decades, that he will hand the baton to Luka. It'll become Luka's league, and you're seeing that at 22 years old, that he is just dynamite. I mean, he's on that's huge praise, but I don't think Larry Bird meets Allen Iverson, and he's built for the league the way it's played right now. He's built for the game. He's so big, but he's quicker than you think, and can just score in so many ways, as you mentioned, Buck. Just really, really impressive. And early game last night, Brooklyn just, geez Louise. I mean,
I don't even know who's going to beat that group.
That team.
Yeah.
I mean, that game was 40-26. It was 24 points at the half with Boston, and they were never close. I mean, they've got, you know, Kevin Durant, and here's Kyrie, and here's Harden.
And Harden's playing
and this
such
guy, Joe Harris,
a nice role in what he's doing. He's, you know, he's along for the ride. It's almost like when you need me, I can assist, I can shoot, but I'm not going to, I don't need to be the guy.
Yeah, no,
right
that's,
now.
Well, look, I mean, whatever I thought of him as a Rockets fan, I was never the biggest James Harden fan, but because we would always talk about, I don't think he's ever going to be the number one guy on a championship team. He's never going to lead you to a championship. And we saw that, and some would argue that, you know, Harden would wear himself out in the regular season and be out of gas come postseason. Well, here he doesn't have to be the one. I mean, they got everybody, and they got a full unit. Their only question is going to be continuity, having not played together as a team most of the season because of all the injuries. You know, how do they match up? You know, they're going to smoke Boston. I mean, that's pretty obvious. Matt Boston has no answer. But the question is, does anybody have any answer when they get to the Bucks and the Sixers and the other teams in the East? I don't know. That's three Hall of Famers right there on one roster. That's hard to stop. And then a guy like Joe Harris steps in and is knocking down threes all over the place. They're tough to beat. Also, the Lakers got even with the Suns last night. So that series 1-1, as you thought Anthony Davis would respond. He was embarrassed by his Game 1 performance against DeAndre Ayton, and he was dominant last night. So those were your three NBA games last night. We'll have Zay's thoughts on those throughout the morning. Also, what I was watching last night, I watched the first half. I recorded it, so I'm going to finish it today. I don't know if you saw the ABC docuseries on Mike Tyson, The Knockout.
Yeah, I was watching the beginning. I was kind of watching the beginning of it, yeah.
It's good, man. Intriguing. It takes you back to Iron Mike when he's growing up in Brooklyn and you know, just the abject poverty he grew up in. I mean, this will be pretty good. I think it's a four-part series. Mm-hmm. First one was last night. It's all in kind of the realm of the Michael Jordan documentary that we saw, kind of getting the same pace and kind of the same idea, but pretty good. Boy, the reminders of just how dominant Mike Tyson was, Buck, when he was –
you know, 20, 21 years old, on his way to be the heavyweight champion of the world. Just ferocious.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought he was going to kill somebody in the ring.
Yeah, you felt like it. I mean,
I did.
Was a
Every
teenager.
Time he fought somebody, I thought, somebody may die tonight here.
Yeah, and the first one last night started with, you know, it began with the hype leading up to his bout with Michael Spinks in Atlantic City with Donald Trump as the main promoter with Don King. And, you know, and it was the fight that everybody wanted to see. And then as it's about to start, and I think we all know how that ended. It ended before it started, really. Then they take you back to the buildup of Mike Tyson, or they take you back to where he grew up and how he grew up, and into the meeting with Customato and, you know, how his boxing career is. I think it's going to be pretty good. I'm intrigued by it. And I think a lot of younger folks, like Zay, I mean, you can go back and learn a lot about Mike Tyson in this thing, because kind of like with Michael Jordan, there was a lot of the young folks who got to get back and just see the greatness of Air Jordan and that whole, you know, rise and then dominance of the 90s. It's going to be good even for me, I think, for you too, Buck, to go back and see Mike Tyson at a younger age. And then, of course, the roller coaster of his life.
Yeah, he had a chaotic life. I mean, it's just his early years were kind of scary. That guy, you're talking about a guy who could have ended up just totally going the wrong way without certain people in his life and saved his life. And
yeah,
as I said, I mean, he had something within him. Every time he got into the ring, I said, I really truly thought this could be the night that I actually watch a match that somebody dies in the ring if this guy hits him the right way.
Or the punching power, the wrong way, the punching power that he had. You see it early. He was sent off to the essentially a detention center because he was in trouble so much. They said he was arrested upwards of 30 times as a youth, just for petty crimes and theft and things of that nature. So the judge sent him up, you know, to get away from his neighborhood. And there was one of the security guards there, one of the guys in charge, was a boxer. And that's really where he used to go box with him and spar with him. And then he introduced him to Customato. But the thing that jumped out of the episode number one last night is at 12 or 13 years old, Mike Tyson already looked like he was 20. His body, I don't know if I've ever seen a 12-year-old look like that. I mean, you coach running backs, Buck.
Yeah.
I mean, this kid was, I mean, at one point they asked somebody that was interviewed, said, hey, how old do you think that kid is? And one of them said, 20, maybe 21. He goes, no, he's 12. And he was in the ring, just looks like a bull. I mean, just this huge body and frame. Obviously, he's shorter in stature, but just was already filled out. And that's when Customato told him if he sticks to it, he'll be the heavyweight champion of the world one day, because D'Amato had worked with a couple of heavyweight champs. That's good. I'm excited to watch the rest. I'd be interested to see if other folks watched it and what they thought. I haven't finished the first one, but I'm going to finish it today. I thought that was pretty good last night. Good television.
Yeah, there is. If you could stay up late for that last game, which I I could not.
They
there's
did.
Just no way.
No way.
He's there to the bitter end.
Zay's a hoopster, man.
Yeah.
Hoopster. All right, so props to the Mavs. They're in control. That's pretty awesome to see them. You know, I think this is right. The Mavericks have not won a playoff series since they won the NBA title. Is that the right? I got to look that up. I heard that the other day.
Isn't it?
Remember they won the NBA championship. I don't think they've won a series since. And I don't think Rick Carlisle's won a series in a long time. But this seems like an opportunity for Luka and the Mavs to do something big here. We'll see. People will correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I thought I heard that the other day in some NBA playoff lead-up. But that's out there. We'll get into the Big 12 baseball. Longhorns now know they're playing West Virginia today. No scouting report needed. They just saw them for three games this weekend. It's interesting, in these games today, the quadruple header at Bricktown Ballpark in Oklahoma City, TCU will play K-State, and Texas will play West Virginia. That's how the final weekend went. And, of course, TCU took two out of three from K-State took two out of three from TCU,
yep,
including that walk-off homer to beat them in the Saturday game. Texas took two out of three from West Virginia. So they'll be very familiar with one another in these matchups today, one of first of four. I thought David Pierce was interesting yesterday, Buck, when we played the cut. They've got some flexibility here. They've got some opportunity. They don't have to win this tournament. They'd like to win this tournament, but there's no reason to overuse their bullpen. There's no reason to stretch people out. I was also interested to know that they're going with Ty Madden tonight. They're going to, you know, there was a thought that maybe they go with some other guys, one of their Tuesday or midweek starters in game one tonight. You know, because Ty Madden is on a day shorter rest than usual, 6 days from his normal time, because he started that Thursday night game last week against West Virginia.
Yeah, and he probably wants to start after losing to West Virginia. He doesn't want to. He wants to get right back in there against the same team.
Yeah, and you know, he lost that game 5-4.
Right.
But you're talking about the conference's pitcher of the year. That'll be followed up by Tristan Stevens. It sounded to me like Coach Pierce is saying, look, let me put my two studs on the mound. Let me see if we can get two up 2-0 here. Remember, this is a double elimination tournament. So if Texas could win today with time added on the hill, turn around.
They would like to get a little rest, too, by winning.
Well, because if you win the first two, then you get Friday off.
Right.
And then you are into the weekend with, you know, a pretty fresh staff and an opportunity to to win that tournament. We'll see how this goes. But the Longhorns play 4 o'clock this afternoon. You'll hear that here on the Horn. But we know from Coach Pierce, Buck, they have 5 championships they want to win. They've already got one of them. 1 down, 4 to go. And a lot of confidence from that team because he believes in his leadership. He believes in his coaching staff. And this is a player-led team, led by Ty Madden at the top, to get the, you know, Two of the first team all Big 12 pitchers tells you you've got a deep staff and an opportunity to go a long way.
Right, it's always good to play a team that you've played. How about that? You come right back and play them. You don't have to. There's not much you have to do except for beat them like you beat them before. That's their deal, and to play their game, their brand of baseball, and not worry about. Obviously, they're not going to worry about what West Virginia's doing because it's not like we got to go watch a lot of film. We just got through playing them. We know what they're all about. We know some of their weaknesses and some of their strengths. So. You go play your game, and you're liable to get rid of them in a hurry. That's what I believe against this team, especially if Ty Madden gets off early.
Yeah, you kind of feel like he wants to make amends for.
I would think so.
He was up a little in that series. His stuff was not as sharp as we've seen it in that.
He gave up 3 homers.
I mean. 3 bombs, and it was a windy day, and that can happen too in Oak City. We'll get a weather report here coming up. So a lot to do. It's a busy Wednesday morning, dragging you up over the hump. Still some sprinkles out there, so be advised. I actually drove across Mopac this morning, headed over here to 360, and that's where the little sprinkles were, a little rain shower. That's going to happen today, but then clears out. Just a steamy, warm Wednesday in the ATX. Appreciate you being there. We'll have more on the NBA playoffs. Zay will have his insights and yours on this 26th of May. We are just getting warmed up. Live, local, and digital. Always streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Wednesday on the Horn B&E with you. It's drag you up over the hump Wednesday into a Memorial Day weekend that's coming. Official start of summer. Congratulations to all the graduates out there. Had Texas commencement last week. There's high school graduations coming up. And props to all of them for battling through a year unlike any other and getting to the finish line. But you're here. Summer is here. And a lot going on. The Dallas Mavericks are up 2-0 in their series. There is no answer for Luka Doncic. And what he's doing. How about his one-legged three-pointer over Kawhi Leonard last night with Dirk Nowitzki in the building watching the game, shades of Dirk. They have no answer for Luka. He is just tearing them apart. But the Mavs up 2-0. And the other part of that, Buck, playing in L.A., you know, they still have the crowd restrictions, so there's a very little crowd there.
Mm-hmm.
They now go back to Dallas where it's going to be packed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Dallas gets to come home to a frenzied, crowded house at the American Airlines Center. They're playing in front of really friends and family only, it appears to me, over there at the Staples Center.
Scary for the Clippers because the Mavs are going to get one of those two games.
Well, and then you're up 3-1.
Yeah.
And, and I don't know what
they're doing. They don't mind going back playing you.
Luka's just so good. And Zay, it almost feels like, I know Paul George put some stats up, but it almost feels like if not for Kawhi Leonard, the Clippers would be losing by 50 in
these
games.
They'd be getting
crushed. He's the only guy playing.
Yeah, and it's funny because Montrezl Harrell, who was on the Clippers last year, had a tweet that was very petty talking about, I'm just going to sit back and chill because he was the blame last year for the Clippers' losses because he couldn't move his feet very well on pick and rolls, just like Zubac. So they decided to say, you know what, we're going to keep Zubac around and we'll let you go for, barely anything. So, yeah, it's coming back to bite them for sure. And yeah, Luka just absolutely dominating. You got Porzingis going into clubs and stuff like that. So the Mavs are clearly unfazed. They're clearly confident. Jalen Brunson, a Jay Wright product out of Villanova who plays like it, he's an absolute problem. And, yeah, the Clippers, they're definitely in trouble, which is very shocking. But, like I said, Rick Carlisle is definitely out coaching Tyronn Lue.
So far, and Mavericks at the advantage. The stat that I saw was what do we have? The Mavericks are the 32nd team in NBA history to win the first two games of a best of 7 on the road. 27 of the previous 31 have gone on to finish the deal. So the Mavs are in the driver's seat situation. Can the Longhorns put themselves in a driver's seat situation at the Big 12 tournament today in baseball? That's 4 o'clock this afternoon, part of a quadruple header. Keep in mind, it's scheduled for 4 o'clock. You know how that goes. There's two games before it. There's a game this morning.
How they go.
Game at 12:30. Obviously, any extra inning games or long delays could push that thing back this afternoon. But scheduled for 4 o'clock. You'll hear it here on the Horn with Ty Madden on the mound for Texas against West Virginia, who beat Kansas last night, Buck. It's also that time of year in the NFL for the OTAs, the organized team activities. I did see where the Dallas Cowboys are going through their work. Dak Prescott in uniform, doing his thing.
I saw Joe Burrow out there.
Yeah, Joe Burrow is on track to be back. That's obviously huge. But Dak Prescott was talking about that they have all, you know, because I was looking at Green Bay, right? Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is the biggest story in the league right now. He's not at their OTAs. He's in Hawaii somewhere. But, you know, not only Aaron Rodgers not there, the top five Packer receivers are not there, including Devontae Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, up at the Star, the Cowboys there have almost everybody there. They have a lot of attendance. Veterans are there, buying into the new defensive coordinator, buying into the new coaches that are there, trying to get on the same page. And, you know, Dak Prescott said something yesterday that, you know, this buy-in early is going to pay off late. I mean, being all together now when we couldn't be together last year, that's a good sign for Dallas, that there is a buy-in, I think, to, you know, getting back together, trying to put 1-1 on last year in the rearview mirror and move forward.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure. There's no doubt. That, I mean, that was so bad for the Cowboys in a record-breaking year on the bad side that, yeah, they're looking forward to getting together and showing that they're a lot better than what we saw last year. We'll see.
Can I just say that as I look at the Cowboys, we've talked a lot about their defense, which will still needs upgraded, to say the least, and you hope the guy like Micah Parsons can come in and make an immediate impact as just a pass rusher and just a pressure player early. The young corner they took out, a second-round corner out of Kentucky, he's going to have to come in and play early because that secondary is leaky. But am I wrong to suggest the Cowboys, they can't go into the season with the quarterbacks behind Dak Prescott being Cooper Rush and Garrett Gilbert and Ben DiNucci?
Well, they do that every year. I mean, there's nothing that's going to change about that. That's just what they do.
Well, they did. Remember last year they invested in Andy Dalton, and then obviously didn't pay off in a playoff dividend, but it kept them afloat when they still had Andy Dalton when Dak Prescott got injured. And yeah, Dak Prescott coming off a devastating foot injury, and your backup quarterback is Cooper Rush.
If you're going to insure something, your car, your house, your family, if you're not insuring your quarterback in the NFL, then that's crazy, you know, especially if you're a really good team. But then again, the Dallas Cowboys for a long time haven't been a really good team.
Yeah.
Hell, their starting quarterback hadn't taken them very far, much less if you need to have a backup in there. So it really doesn't make very much sense. Now, instead of having four guys, why don't you go out and get one other guy that's really good back up your quarterback?
I mean, you look up after all the free agency and the draft, and you think, okay, they're going to add a quarterback. They're going to bring a veteran player.
Colt McCoy could have done that back before.
Yeah. Well, I think Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona realized they are their ways last year when Kyler Murray got hurt.
That's right.
They didn't have a good and quality backup. Now Colt McCoy's out in the desert. Which, again, as we say, you know, if you lose your quarterback for the season, that's going to pretty much dash any team's hopes of, you know, big things. But,
right,
you know, you're going to lose your quarterback for a game or two here and there in a game. And
that's
a guy
right.
like Colt McCoy can walk in there and win you that game, win you a couple of games, you know, go 2-1 or 1-2 in a three-game stretch
right.
that keeps you afloat in the playoff race. You know, Ben DiNucci?
No.
Cooper Rush? Nothing against Garrett Gilbert, but former Lake Travis Cavalier, I mean his...
First of all, they can't have that many quarterbacks, and if Ben DiNucci beats out the rest of those guys, that's a shame.
Yeah, they've...
That's a shame for the game of football, should be...
This is... RG3 is coming to Dallas. Mark the tape. Robert Griffin III?
It's okay.
RG3, I'd be for that. I mean, I don't know what he's...
And you're right.
Hasn't been in Baltimore of late?
You just need to win a couple games until you can get your starting quarterback back. If you had to play three games, hopefully you can win one out of the three. If you're a good enough team, you know what I mean? If you're good enough and have a surrounding cast that's not bad, you're like you said, if you lose your star, you're done.
That's for anybody.
You're done. Yeah, you're done for the season. But if you've got to be in four games without him, hell, if you can get one of four or two of four, that's pretty good.
The other top stories in the NFL during these OTAs, Falcons, of course, are looking to move on from Julio Jones. We heard him in that interview with Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless saying he's out of here. He feels like he's going to be traded. But here's the deal. You know, it's May the 26th, so coming up on June 1 here. And It's a $23 million cap hit if they move on from him. But if they get past June 1st, that number comes down. So if they are going to trade Julio Jones, it's probably coming after into next week and beyond for the cap hit reason. But they're likely to trade him. The Tennessee Titans are apparently a spot that are interesting. A.J. Brown, their star young receiver, out lobbying to bring Julio Jones there. We mentioned the New York Giants yesterday. Somebody mentioned the Vegas Raiders. And I saw several, Teddy Bruschi, I think, on ESPN said he thinks wherever Aaron Rodgers ends up when the Packers trade Aaron Rodgers is where Julio Jones is going to end up as those two future Hall of Famers try to wind up somewhere together. I don't know if that can happen salary cap wise, but I guess it's fun to play the make-believe chessboard of where players can land when moves are made this summer.
Unless Julio ends up in Green Bay, because I think Aaron Rodgers is going to end up. I think he got a lot off his plate and off his shoulders with the statements that he made, and he'll end up back with his teammates in Green Bay. I mean, I think that's just going to be the way it is. He just wanted to vent one more time and vent hard, and he doesn't need to go to OTA. I mean, he doesn't need to be there for this stuff. He's been there before. He's been with his teammates before. This was kind of the last straw thing, but I think Aaron Rodgers will, like I said a long time ago, end up back in Green Bay. Because he can be mad, but quit being mad, go back to a team that can still get you to a Super Bowl. You win a lot of games with that team.
You certainly do.
You know? I'm intrigued by Aaron Rodgers, but in my mind, I think he'll kind of be back. But one of the most intriguing NFL stories is, can Frank Reich get Carson Wentz back to the way he was? That team is, speaking of the up-and-coming team, I know we've been waiting around, and seeing when they're going to really, they have that great offensive line. They've got really solid defense. They can really run the ball now. But if Carson Wentz is got his mojo back, that's a tough team.
I 100% agree. I mean, they're a sleeping giant if he's good. And if Frank Reich, who had him as, remember when the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles and Carson Wentz, 2016, it was Frank Reich as the offensive coordinator and had a great relationship with Wentz then.
He doesn't have to do near as much as he had in Philly. I mean, Philly was a wreck too, the whole team.
Correct. And that's where, when you look at Philadelphia, you got to add it all up. I mean, the coach got fired. That just seemed like a very toxic place last year.
The ownership was
I mean, is the owner meddling too much? The new head coach they hired is a guy named Nick Sirianni, who's got very little experience.
They got a really big head after they won the Super Bowl for some odd reason.
Happens sometimes. Egos happen. You win a Super Bowl, and who gets the credit? We saw with Jerry Jones and the Cowboys after they won two Super Bowls. Who's getting the – is it Howie Roseman? Is it Doug Peterson? After they won the Super Bowl, guys like Frank Reich and, a bunch of their coaches bolted to other spots. And so the consistency
That's why it's so amazing how the New England Patriots kept doing that year in, year out. I mean, the egos that could have gone on,
That's always been the case for 20 years. For 20 years, the Spurs did the same thing with Tim Duncan. I mean, for about the same parallel of time, right? It's just the way. It's how you operate, and it's not easy. What Bill Belichick and Tom Brady did for two decades in a salary cap league where parity and keeping things even and
monster egos,
turning over talent is really what it's about. They stayed consistent, and that's hard to do. And I think Philadelphia found that out. We've seen teams that are in the Super Bowl one year and fall apart the next over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way of the NFL, and Philadelphia won them. But your point to start that conversation about Carson Wentz is right on. If he's back to being an above-average quarterback, I mean, people talk about his MVP-caliber season he was having in 2016. On that team, with that offensive line and Jonathan Taylor, the running back, and emerging weapons on the outside, plus a aggressive young defense. Remember, by age, the Colts have the second youngest roster in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in the playoffs a year ago with Phillip Rivers. Now they get younger with Carson Wentz at quarterback against the old man Rivers. You're right. I mean, they're in there in that division with Tennessee and Jacksonville and Houston, which who knows what Ryan Tannehill is going to show up this year. Remember, his offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, has moved on to Atlanta to be the Atlantic Falcons head coach. There's going to be a new person in charge there with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill in that offense. How does that impact them? What is Jacksonville for Urban Meyer? Houston, we know, is going to be a mess. That's a very winnable division.
Oh, yeah.
If Carson Wentz is there, and then you're in the conversation with – you know, the Clevelands and the Kansas Cities and the Buffaloes and the, and the Baltimores in the AFC.
Yeah, like you said, they got a young defense, but they have their stability is in their offensive line. I mean, they're big and they're strong, and they've been growing that offensive line for about 5 years.
Well, Chris Ballard, the GM, is one of the best in the league, and he's built that roster through the draft and with really smart drafts. And you're if Carson Wentz is good, they rolled the dice on Carson. If he's but if he's not, you know, then you're just an also-ran with who can run the ball.
Yeah, okay, we can run, but we can't win. Sorry.
Because here's the negative part of Carson Wentz is when they drafted Jalen Hurts, by all accounts in Philadelphia, kind of like Aaron Rodgers, he didn't like it, threatened him, and instead of rising to the competition, he turtled and played terrible. I mean, he was an awful quarterback last year. No matter what the toxic situation was,
I agree.
He was awful as a quarterback last year with the decision-making, taking sacks, throwing interceptions.
You're right.
And if your quarterback is not ready to compete, and gets his feelings hurt because you drafted a Jalen Hurts and he feels threatened by that, this is a competitive league, my friends. This is the National Football League.
Right.
And that would be concerning. Can Frank Reich work his magic? We'll see. If he can, they're going to be pretty good in Indianapolis, no question about that. So good stuff. NFL, the OTAs are here. Cowboys are pretty max participation. That's a good thing as we count down the days to what's going to be a tremendous football season coming up in the fall in the college and the pro ranks. We come back, it'll be your B&E Fact of the Day. We'll get you thinking. Some other interesting facts and news and nuggets. Also, continuing our conversations of the morning, it's B&E with you. First, it's Craig Way from Oklahoma City.
It's time for the Craig Way Sports Report, brought to you.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you, show of the people, Isaiah Collier as well. Talking plenty of NBA basketball this morning. Good triple header last night. Lakers beat the Suns. Mavericks steal both games in L.A. Beat the Clippers last night with Luka leading the way. Longhorn baseball in action this afternoon. Somebody texted to ask if Texas wins today. Got to win the game first. Who would they play? I believe if the Longhorns win today, they would play the winner of the Bedlam game tonight. Oklahoma State on Thursday. In a 1-4-1-5 matchup in the double elimination tournament. Tonight they're going to play West Virginia in a 1-8 game because West Virginia, as you just heard from Craig Way, beat Kansas last night in a walk-off walk to win the game 9-8. So Texas in action this afternoon. And Oklahoma State would be the opponent tomorrow. TCU plays K-State today. Baylor will play Texas Tech early this morning with Tim Tadlock in his new lifetime contract.
Sweet.
Out of Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Thank you, Aggies.
Yeah, really. Thanks a lot. You couldn't do that? You couldn't get them? Couldn't get them?
Yeah, I don't know
what was said. You didn't have enough money or something?
I was told pretty close to the situation that the Aggies thought for all the world that they had Tim Tadlock.
Of course they did.
But much like the Longhorns thought they had Chris Beard and got Chris Beard.
Yeah.
And remember, when Chris Beard left to come to Texas, Kirby Hokut offered Chris Beard essentially a lifetime contract, too, to try to keep him.
Too late.
And it almost feels like Kirby Hokut was told, you either keep this baseball coach or we're coming after you. We can't lose both of our best coaches in
right.
2 months to rival schools in the state. Now, obviously, Texas A&M is no longer in the conference, but we can't let that happen. And somehow Kirby Hokut pulled a rabbit out of his hat and Tim Tadlock. But much like Chris Beard, his alma mater is here, right? And so Austin and Texas had maybe the inside track on that.
I would say yes.
Tim Tadlock's alma mater is Texas Tech. He's an alumnus.
Yeah, by the way, keep T.J. Greeny, B.K., and, of course, Steve Foster in your prayers over the weekend as they've lost family members over the last 48 hours, as a matter of fact. That's how things happen. And keep them in your prayers while you're enjoying yourself this weekend. There'd be some heavy hearts there, for sure. It's not a fun weekend to go in. It's a weekend of
yeah,
praise
BK's
for those
grandfather
that
passed.
Served us. So.
You mentioned Steve Foster's mother passed.
Mother, yeah, mom.
TJ's yesterday. Wife, did she passed?
His wife's mother.
Okay.
It's his mother-in-law who passed away last, recently.
TJ,
during
of course,
the course
part
of
the Sunday morning outdoor show.
Yeah, the Pooper Scoopers.
The Pooper Scooper show.
Yeah.
Also to look forward to, in addition to Memorial Day weekend, tomorrow, Buck, up at the Colonial Country Club, just north of the TCU campus, they'll tee off the longest standing spot on the PGA Tour, year by year. The Colonial will tee off, and in a smart way, the PGA Tour has paired Jordan Spieth and Phil Mickelson together for the first 2 days. Phil and Jordan will tee off at 9:16 tomorrow. Kind of feels like Jordan maybe is due to win one of these things, but Phil Mickelson, coming off his PGA Championship, He'll be a fan favorite, and those galleries will be huge up there tomorrow.
Has Jordan ever won the Colonial or the other tournament? He has never
won.
The
Byron Nelson?
He's been in it. He's been in it since like 16, right?
Yes.
I mean,
when he was an amateur.
When he was an amateur.
Before he even came to Texas, he got an exemption.
But I don't think he's ever won either one.
I don't think so either. But it's a pretty good field, by the way. If you're jonesing for the golf after what we saw last weekend at the Players of the PGA Championship, I mean, you've got I was looking at some of the odds.
What about Brooks?
Koepka is not in it. His knee hurts.
Come on.
He's going to take the week off.
Come on, Bruce.
But all the way down to like 5,000 plus 5,000, Gary Woodland is playing. Matt Kuchar is playing in this tournament. Justin Rose, Scottie Scheffler in this tournament. Patrick Reed, the local favorite, Will Zalatoris. You got Daniel Berger, Colin Morikawa, Tony Finau, Jordan Spieth, and Justin Thomas.
That's a good field right there.
Very good field. Very good field of golfers. And Phil Mickelson, you know, it would have been not outside the realm of Phil Mickelson to say, you know what, it's been a fun week. I know I committed to play, but I'm gonna cut it loose. But Phil has a plan. He plans to play in this, and then he's going to take 2 weeks to get ready for the U.S. Open on Father's Day weekend. So we'll be excited to watch that tee off tomorrow. Also, speaking of golf, and Will Zalatoris, his playing buddy, Tony Romo. See what happened with the Cowboys yesterday? And fans weren't happy. It'd be interesting to see if Cowboy fans want to weigh in on this. But the linebacker, Jalen Smith, is one of many players across the league who is changing his number because now the league is allowing you to wear single digits and, you know, positionless numbers. They've given Jalen Smith Tony Romo's number 9. Tony Romo's number 9 now belongs to the Cowboys linebacker.
Ooh!
Yeah! Oh. I don't know if they were going to retire Tony Romo's number.
No, they weren't going to retire that number. You think Tony Romo will be in the ring
give it
of
to
honor?
An average linebacker? Chase down linebacker who's getting caught up in the wash all the time?
Well, if Tony Romo gets to the ring of honor, maybe that will change, but I don't think we'll see
that's a fair question. Cowboy fans, you decide. Should Tony Romo be in the Ring of Honor?
Hell no. I mean, like with Bob Lilly and guys like that and Bob Hayes.
Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin.
Staubach, you mean those guys? Not so fast.
Not so fast, my friend.
Good quarterback. How's that? Good quarterback.
Pretty good quarterback. He was a Pro Bowler.
Good quarterback.
Good fantasy football quarterback for a long time, wasn't he?
Good quarterback making $17 million a year now.
All right. Hey, let's get to your B&E Fact of the Day.
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
How about this interesting fact of the day? Right now on this May 26th, the four players leading Major League Baseball in home runs, as we sit here this morning, have an interesting common denominator. There are four players with 15 or more home runs in Major League Baseball, all share one trait. We'll let you know what that is on the other side. Plus, get to your headlines, dive into our Coach's Corner. We're getting you over the hump on a Wednesday. Glad you are with us, live, local, and digital on the Horn app, your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.